Please enjoy a replay of our Sunday, November 6th Sunday service with a message from Pastor Ripley and music from Sylvia and the worship team.
Good morning. I've already said that, but I'll say it again. I just got a short scripture. Everybody knows what it is, but actually, it's really powerful. It's in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Excuse me. A lot of times, a guy just takes this for granted, this passage, but I think it's very powerful. It's very powerful in, I mean, we can say it, but we got to live it. Our life has got to change so that people will see a change in us. And they'll want the same thing as what we have got. And also, I'd like to pray again for that persecuted church all around the world, Lord God. I can't imagine what they're going through, the little kids, people, and all over the world, Lord Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for them. I pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would completely take over their lives. As I pray that right here in this church this morning, that the word of God would sink into our hearts and we would give our lives, our souls, everything to him, because he is our only way. There is a heaven, but there is a hell. And friends, we don't want to go there. So I just pray, Lord God, that the fire of the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, would fall down upon every person in this church, and they will never, ever be the same again. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for Canada and the United States in this midterm election. I pray, Lord God, that you're going to be watching over that whole thing. Lord, they talk about different things, but you are still on the throne. You're still in control. We don't understand a lot of it. So we're going to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's stand together.
Forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of ancient believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, it's all God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound, let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. Oh, so God's children sing. Glory, glory. They can't drown out a single word.
And all the powers.
And all the powers of darkness, they tremble at what they just heard. Yes, they do. 'Cause all the powers of darkness, they can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns.
Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you are Lord. You have risen from the dead. You are Lord. There is no one without resurrection power that you have, Jesus. You're the only one, O God, who can transform. You're the only one, O God, who we bow our knee to. Jesus, we declare your lordship here today. Amen. We declare that you are King, you are God, and there is no other. We just bless you. We say you are a great God. There is no one like you, Lord. No one like you. We bless you, O God.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
praise you, Lord. You are such a good God.
as your child and as your friend. Safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again.
Because you deserve
the greater glory.
Yes, you do, Lord.
Overcome.
Speak to us and minister to us. Yes. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Philemon. I know there's different ways to pronounce it, but I'm going to go with Philemon. And we're preaching through the Bible. It began in 2 Corinthians, and now we're in this book, Philemon. This morning, this morning, I want to share for a few moments on our love for each other has to grow. Our love for each other has to grow. Now, this is an interesting little book. There's 25 verses in the book of Philemon. And he was a leader in the Colossian church, possibly led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. And he had a slave who ran away. Now, slavery in those days is quite different than the slavery we had recently in years past here in North America. Slavery was often an economic situation where someone was bankrupt and their only option was to work fully and completely for someone else. And so this book centers around a slave that ran away. But you know, when he ran away, he found Christ. And the Apostle Paul was central in this man coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is saying to Philemon, you know what? I want you to receive him back. Maybe he's done some wrong things, but I want you to receive him back, not just as a slave, but as a brother, as a son. And so there's this whole aspect of forgiveness within this book. And so it's important that we understand what we're reading. And you know what? A lot of times people pick and choose what verses they want to read. That kind of reminds me of the lady that had a fear of flying. And so she had this little packet of verses. And so she said to herself, you know, before I get on the plane, I'm going to pick out a verse. And that verse, I'm hoping, is going to encourage me and help me as I travel on this plane because I fear flying. And so she began to walk up the steps of the plane into the entrance, and she reached in her pocket and she picked out a verse. And you know what the verse said? Blessed in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. I don't know whether that verse helped her or not. But sometimes we pick and choose the verses that we want to land on. But I want you to know, as we're preaching through the Bible, that the Bible's important from Genesis to Revelation. Can somebody shout amen this morning? The whole Bible's important. And by preaching through the Word of God, I want to share with you how important every single book in the Bible is. And so we're here at Philemon. And I want to begin at verse number 4. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that your word would speak to us and minister to us. Touch us, change us, transform us, that our lives would be impacted, O God. I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're not going to get into the story today between Philemon and the Apostle Paul and this slave. But I want to begin by looking at verses 4 to 7 this morning. Verses 4 to 7. Beginning at verse number 4. And I want to thank my daughter Michelle for putting this together. Even though she's in Portland, she was able to put this together for me. So thank you, Michelle. I always thank my God
as I remember you in my prayers. Now I want to stop right there this morning. Because the Apostle Paul made it a priority to pray for others. All through his books, we see the apostle praying for the church and sometimes praying for individuals specifically. And here he's praying for Philemon. And I want to say today, most of us wouldn't be here in this service this morning if someone hadn't have prayed for us. That's not good enough. I said most of us wouldn't be here this morning in this service if someone hadn't have prayed for us. And sometimes, you know, it gets discouraging when you pray for somebody else. And the devil says, you know what, I don't even know why you're doing it. It's not even working. Nothing's happening. In fact, in some situations, the circumstance gets worse instead of better. And the more you pray, it's almost like everything's going down, going south. But friends, we've got to continue to pray until we see the manifestation of what we've been praying for. Hallelujah! You know, there's a West Indian song that I learned when I was pastoring a lot of West Indians, people from Jamaica, from Guyana, from Trinidad, and it goes a little bit like this. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They got down on their knees. They sacrificed their time and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out, set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They got down on their knees. They sacrificed their time and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out, he soul, and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Thank God that someone got on their knees and they prayed for you. In your situation and in your circumstance, and maybe they're still praying for you. They're still getting on their knees and they're still sacrificing their time and they're calling out to God because they know one day, hallelujah, God is going to bring you out. Hallelujah. That's the power of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. That's not even my message this morning. That's extra. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Because I heard about the nice car that you drive and the fancy house that you live in and all the goodies that you have and all the money you have compiled in your bank account. I've heard about it. No. I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was coming back to the Apostle Paul from the life of Philemon? It was the fact that he saw something transformative in that life, and that life was this. He loved God's people. He loved God's people. Verse 6 says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Then he says in verse 7, your love has given me great joy. Hallelujah. How many know God has called us to love one another? This commandment I give you, Jesus said, that you love one another. They will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. You know, loving people is not an easy task. How many know that's true? How many know someone that gets under your skin? Just raise your hand. That's a lot of hands that have gone up. And that's the person, oftentimes, that God is calling you to love. And God wants us to go deeper. Pastor Raff and I were talking about that this week. God is calling us to go deeper in our love for each other. And somehow the Apostle Paul recognized and saw that love being displayed through Philemon, and it brought him great joy. You know, when we see God's people walking in God's commandments, it should give us great joy. Wow, what an exciting time that we live in. I can see you growing in your walk with the Lord. That love is pouring forth from your life. And somehow it's affecting me. And I can see it being demonstrated in and through you. And it causes joy to well up. Amen. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. Because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. You know what? There is a chapter on love. Can anybody tell me where it is? 1 Corinthians 13. And when I was in Bible college, they said that 1 Corinthians 13 is the middle of the sandwich. There's 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 that talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but inside in the middle, there's got to be the love of God flowing for those gifts to be effective within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in pastoring for over 35 years, you see a lot of things. And one thing that I've seen, not here, but in other churches that I've pastored, is what I refer to as commentary prophecy. You know, I want to tell you something, but I'm not willing to face you and tell you to your face, so I'll put it in a prophecy. Oh, the Lord would say unto thee, there's someone here that's not, you know, forgiving, and they have brown hair and blue eyes. You think I'm joking? No, I'm not joking. I've seen people, maybe not that specific, but I've seen people use prophecy against somebody else in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That institution, that release of that gift is without love. When you have love, it's going to build up the body. Come on, somebody. It's going to cause the people of God to rejoice and be encouraged and be built up. Amen. Love demonstrated brings refreshing. Are you hearing me? Love demonstrated brings refreshing to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It refreshes our souls when we see someone acting in love, demonstrating the love of Jesus. Let's go over this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say it again. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for the people that are easy to get along with. I mean, if you love those that love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors and the sinners do that. It says, and make your love increase and overflow for each other. And it adds, for everyone else on the list. Just as ours does for you. So that love, God's love, pouring forth from us and increasing and overflowing. I like that word, overflowing. Overflowing. Can you turn to your neighbor and just say, overflowing. Overflowing. That's an important word in this verse. You know, love doesn't mean that we accept everything that people do. And sometimes we have to speak the truth in love. But the motivating factor behind all that we do is the love of Jesus. If we don't do it in love, it's not pleasing to God. Are you hearing me this morning? Our motivation has to be the love of Jesus. And that's what this verse is saying this morning. That love has to increase and it should overflow in our lives. And I say to you this morning, Lord, let it be. Lord, that's a prayer that God is going to answer this morning. If you want to have an answered prayer, say, Lord, fill me with your love. Can somebody pray that this morning? Lord, fill me with your love. Let it be overflowing in my life. Now, what does that mean practically? Let's go over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And then I'm going to try to end, if I can. This is how we know what love is. How many know there's a lot of wrong definitions of love? But here it's explained very specifically. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. I know some of you are thinking, am I willing? Is there so much love flowing from me that I would be willing to lay down my life for the person sitting beside me or behind me or across the pew or in the back or in the chairs or wherever they're sitting this morning. Am I willing to lay down my life for my brother and sister in Christ? That's where the love of God is truly flowing, when I'm willing to do that. And you know what? There might come a time in the near future where we might have to do that. Be willing to lay down our lives for each other. You know, we talked about the persecuted church this morning. And how many in those countries are imprisoned. And how often they simply will not give up the names of others in that underground church, and so they suffer for his name. Just give us the names. Just give us the names. And the torture will end. Just give us the names. We want to know every name of everyone in that underground church. We'll stop torturing you if you just give us the names. And in many situations, they just will not do it. They will not give up their brothers and sisters in Christ, and so the torture continues. And friends, have we come to that place where we're willing to lay down our lives for each other? If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That's a challenge this morning. And if you read the previous verses, it's talking about those who hate their brothers. How can the love of God be in someone who hates a brother or sister in Christ? The Bible says in verse 15, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. You know, one of the greatest aspects of love is forgiveness. One of the greatest manifestations of love is forgiveness. Hello, someone. It's the willingness to forgive someone. We talked about that at the Yak Bible study, that bitterness can become a root that destroys not only the person that's bitter, but it defiles all those that are around them. And there comes a place, friends, by the love of God, that you just release those people in the name of Jesus. You're free in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? If you can't love your brother who you see, how can you love God whom you cannot see? That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit brings conviction upon us this morning, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that we need more love from God Himself. Hallelujah. Let Him pour it out into our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then I love verse 18. This always brings conviction to all of us. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Are you hearing me this morning? In other words, we have to practice what we preach, all of us, including myself. We have to be willing to practice what we preach. We have to love not just in words. God bless you. God bless you. May you ever be blessed. May you wake up blessed. May you leave your house blessed. May you come in blessed. You are ever blessed. I pray for your blessing. But don't bother me with your needs. Right? Don't call me about any specific need that you may have. I stop at just giving blessings. I'm a blesser. Bless, bless, bless. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Just be blessed. Be blessed in your mess. But don't expect me to help you. I just go to church on Sunday and go home, and that's it. Don't bother me with anything. I remember watching a movie one time, and this guy had a t-shirt. I'm local. Don't bother me. That's who you're supposed to bother, the local people, so you know where to go and where to shop. Somebody's living in poverty, and we don't do anything about it. God's going to hold us account. That's where the love of God. You say, well, if I give it all away, what about my retirement? If God is big enough, oh, come on, somebody. If God is big enough that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, come on, somebody. If he owns all that we see, glory be to God. Isn't he big enough to take care of us until we breathe our last breath? Glory to God. I have to be honest this morning. My wife is always telling me, give it away. And I say, well, hold on for a minute. Come on, let's be realistic this morning. She says, give it away. And I say, yeah, but wait a minute. We got to think this through. You know, that's the worst thing you can do, is think it through. Because that's when the devil emerges. That's when the flesh rises up and gives you all kinds of reasons not to do it. So I'll say, let me just pray over it. What a bunch of baloney, right? I want to pray over it. You don't need to pray over something that you know is God's will. Come on, somebody. If you know it's God's will, just do it. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Just do it. You know, the Bible says to give and not expect anything in return. Did you know you can't outgive God? You give a tractor full, and he comes with a bigger tractor full. You give this away, he comes with more. Glory to God, because he has unlimited possessions. Amen. Praise God, there's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. You know, it doesn't say what Philemon did or how Paul recognized the love that Philemon had for the church, but he must have saw something. Something evidenced in his life that caused the apostle to rejoice, to be self-sacrificing, to be willing to lay it all on the altar for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what God's calling us to do. And friends, let me tell you, we don't know what the future holds. So we need to bind together with cords that cannot be broken. Those bonds have got to be strong in the Lord. So that whatever happens, we fight it together. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We fight it together in the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads this morning? I'm going to ask Pastor Raff to prepare himself for communion. Father, I just want to take a moment to pray. Lord, I'm asking you this morning to do a fresh work in each and every heart that's here today. Father, I just pray this morning that the love of Jesus would increase in each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that your love, Lord, would overflow from our lives. Lord, that it would be demonstrated and manifested in the things that we do to show our love. Father, I just pray this morning for a fresh filling of the love of Jesus into our hearts today. In the name of Jesus. Can we just lift our hands this morning? Say, Lord, just fill me. Just fill me with your love today, O God. Let the fruit of the Spirit come forth in my life. Oh, Lord, there's obstacles, but Lord, we pray that those obstacles would be removed. And your love would flow through us like never before, Lord. We would lose ourselves in that love that flows. People would see Jesus in us, oh God, even on a daily basis. Oh God, let there be no hatred in us. Let there be no unforgiveness in us. Let there be no bitterness in us. Let those things be washed away today with the blood of Jesus. May we find Christ in a refreshing way today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's our privilege again this morning to observe communion together as a family of God. And as we've gathered here and as we partake together, this ordinance that was commanded by God, given to the apostles to teach the churches to observe. One of the things that we realize is that it's something that actually draws us together in unity. We recognize our union with Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. And it's such a practical demonstration as we hold these elements in our hands. We think about what he did for us on the cross. The spotless Lamb of God. Do you remember Abraham? When God told him to take his son and sacrifice his son. And he went and did that. And as he took Isaac to sacrifice him, Isaac asked him, Father, where's the sacrifice? And he said, my son, God will provide. Yahweh Yireh, God the provider. On the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And what happened? God stayed Abraham's hand from killing his son, and he provided a ram caught in the thicket, caught in the thorns by his horns. And I remind you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who wore that tangled crown of thorns upon his head, pushed into his head. What a picture of God's provision for his people. What a reminder for us that God himself provides a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is finished. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. So whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of this cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So I invite you now to examine your hearts. Just take a minute, all of us. Come before the Lord. Come before the throne of grace and let's examine our hearts. Jesus. Oh Lord, we recognize that we fall short. And we come before you, Lord, and we ask that you cleanse our hearts, prepare us for this sacred meal, that we may partake with a sense of reverence, because you are holy God. So we do come before you. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We ask you that you would forgive us for we have fallen short. So we don't want to desecrate this wonderful meal that you've given us. We want to be in obedience to your word. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you.'" Let's take and eat together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious gift. You are the bread of life. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you that you provided it for us. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take and drink. We bless you and we thank you for the cup, Lord Jesus, that you poured out your very essence, your blood for us, that cleanses us clean. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is also rehearsal for what's to come. Amen. That we will drink together with you in the coming kingdom. We bless you and we praise you for this precious time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Maybe you're here this morning and you need a healing in your body. How many here need a healing in their body this morning? Can I see your hand? I'm going to invite you just to come forward just for just a moment. If you need healing in your body, just come on up. We're just going to pray for you this morning in the name of Jesus. What? Yes. If you need a healing in your body, I want you to come and just stand across the front in the name of Jesus. You need a healing in your body. For those that are listening by radio, this part of the service is over. We thank you for tuning in today.
Please come join us next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. We'd love to see you and worship with you.